Welcome to Christ Today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us. Thank you that you watch over us. And we ask you to guide and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. I think about the Father's love. I think about our Heavenly Father's love and sometimes our earthly Father's love also. There is a lot of love there. A lot of love. And there are also expectations that we can understand. And we know that when we do things right, well, there's a pattern there. And we get more responsibility and more blessing when we respond rightly. I don't know how it was for you when you were growing up, but in my home, well, if I did not take care of something, I didn't get it taken care of or replaced, let's say. For instance, when I was a teenager, my dad bought a bicycle for me. I had it a year, and then I lent it to a friend. And the friend did not take good enough care of it, and the bike got stolen. And I never got another bicycle after that. Nope, that was it. So, we have to take care of the blessings we have. Oh, let's see, here's a current example of that too. With my wife and her cooking. You see, there was years in the past when I would seem to find something wrong with what she cooked. And she just doesn't cook like she used to. And that was an example of my taking care of a blessing and or not taking care of it with appreciation and thankfulness. So I think it's kind of similar for the spiritual blessings also. And that means we want to remember to have such a good, thankful heart, appreciate what we have, and look at the blessings that we have. Even difficult times can bring blessings, you know. We can be thankful to God for the difficulties we have because they help to define who we are and give us appreciation. So let us be thankful for all the blessings we have and even the problems, some of them at least, because we can be thankful that we don't have the problems that other people have. Well, isn't that true? You look around and you know that there's so many people who have problems. Glad we don't have them, indeed. It reminds me of that last part of Matthew chapter 6, which says, "Oh, that each day has its own trouble." Or, in the words of the King James Bible, "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And yes, we know that every day has its troubles, but we want to remember that our time and our attention, we want to go with our relation with Jesus. That's the good, that's the best, that's what we want. And then to not have all the things around us distract us and take away from that relation with Jesus Christ. The things of this world, whatever they are, they can be troubles and they can be pleasures, and they're going on all the time. But what we want is to remember our relation with Jesus and not have the troubles that we deal with take away from that. You know, there's that song that goes about keep your eyes upon Jesus, and I think that is good to remember. It reminds me of that story at the very end of Luke chapter 10. It's about the two sisters, Martha and Mary. Yeah, I used to get those two sisters mixed up because they both started with M. But then I made the association of Mary being closer to God, Mary like the mother of Jesus Christ, being closer to God than the other woman, Martha. So that helped me to discern between the two names. Well, so Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard him speak, while Martha was serving the guests in the home. Martha told Jesus, in so many words, that she wanted Mary to help serve the guests. But Jesus said, "Martha, Mary has made a good choice to listen." And I see that there is wisdom in the Bible over and over again. And we can read these stories, just like the one that I just abbreviated. Read the story for yourself, read the book, read the chapter for yourself, and you will get more out of it. So whichever you choose to read, do read the Bible. Luke chapter 10 or any other one, it's all good. And if you read, you will certainly get fuller understanding than if you hear about the stories, or the true events even, or the parables. Well, the Bible is a big book. It is full of wisdom, and certainly it is good for each of us to read it. At least read the New Testament. It's about the life of Jesus, and so very good. It's only about 300 pages. It's something like the size of a paperback, and there's so many good examples in it. You learn from the examples about life and how to live, and even about the troubles that you don't want to have. So it's full of wisdom. Read the Bible. The New Testament is easy. You will find that some lessons in the Bible will apply to you, and some lessons will apply to the experience of someone else. But there is always wisdom in the Bible. It's a good book. So, to get a fuller understanding of whatever it is you are reading or thinking about, always ask God. Pray and ask God for his understanding of what you're reading or what you're contemplating. This is always a benefit to you. Prayer is good. Also, you want to listen so that you can hear from God and to know that Bible well enough so that you can recognize the words and the themes that are of God and the ones that are like it but are not. Read the Bible. It's good. It's a good book. These days we have some troubles in the world, and it's all been written about in the Bible. All the troubles, there are epidemics in the Bible. There are money problems. There are wars and relationship problems. So you can get examples just by reading the Bible and applying them to your life. Now, these days, we hear about that epidemic, that coronavirus, and we can wonder, how bad is it going to get? I surely don't know. I wonder about it. It's not bad now, but I sure am surprised how many people say that it's going to get bad, real bad. And I wonder, it's like they're trying to scare us. Why would they be trying to scare us? Would it be to change the laws or to change the habits of the people? I don't know. I just wonder. The deaths are not that great compared to other viruses that have gone on. Now they're talking about canceling public meetings, about canceling rallies, and even about canceling the election rallies and meetings. There's lots being talked about, and we don't quite know what will happen. But we do want to be cautious about whatever it is. We've had lots of other viruses before. Is this one so different? It's not a good one, but how bad will it get? There is lots of discussion. There's people who say that the National Guard needs to be called out, and that there are plans to have the National Guard spray down or wash down, whatever you want to call it, the schools and all the public meeting places while there is a quarantine going on. Well, there's just so much that is talked about. Canceling meetings, canceling public transportation. There is talk that is going on all over. Talks about a quarantine, self-quarantine or an imposed quarantine. The time ranges from 2 weeks to 6 weeks. I don't know what's going on. I just wonder about it. Oh, and then there's the people who say, well, if people can't get to work because of the quarantine, we'll just have to pay people for that time. And that way the people can pay their bills. Oh boy, if the government gets involved with that, what a tangled mess that would be. And all we can do is wonder about it. Why are so many people addressing this with such seriousness? I don't know. I wonder about it. The influenza virus, the flu, certainly has been a problem in the past. Every year it kills many thousands of people. But the coronavirus in this country is not at all to that level. But there are so many precautionary steps going on. In the middle of the flu season here in the United States, in the bad part of the year, there can be 4,000 people per week who die from the influenza flu. I mean, that's notable. And there's been nothing like that with the coronavirus. I just have to wonder. By the way, that influenza flu, it's pretty well talked about as killing about 60,000 people per year or more. Up to 80,000 people per year is what the regular influenza flu will do to a population the size of the United States. So I wonder, why is the coronavirus getting so much attention? It's not even causing that many deaths. Oh, I just wonder about it. Will it get to be that bad? It might, but it's not that bad now. Are we as a society getting all afraid? Are we so concerned that we are going to change laws to avoid a crisis that is not here yet? I don't know, but I wonder about it. I can't help but think of that saying, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Because so often, the government imposes restrictions and laws and is not such a great big help Or anyway, they make complications. I do see that people help people, and groups help people, and lots of local churches help people. Well, the government helps too. It's just different. Its effectiveness is, it has mixed results. The government does help, but it's just impersonal and not at all what a group or a church would do. So I wonder what would happen if the coronavirus really does get bad. I still don't know how seriously we should take it. I just don't know. I don't know if I have been too unconcerned about it because it hasn't caused the deaths, but other countries certainly are taking it seriously. Look at Italy. Italy is kind of like locked down. China, so much of it, is locked down. It's just going to be pretty interesting to see. Now, I listened to a man who lives in Rome, and I watch some of the things he does on YouTube. He is talking about the young people in Rome, in Italy, as not being willing to stay in a confined area. They're not willing to stay in their home. Instead, they go out just like they do because they want to. It's just a question of what could happen in the world and what could happen here in the United States. How long could our American young people stay inside of their home? For how many weeks could they do that, I wonder? Oh, it's not just the young people. What is young person anyway? Does that mean a teenager? 20s? 30s? What is young? I don't know, but there's plenty of adults who do not want to stay in their home either. It's just a question. Can we even enforce this? We're not China. We don't have such a strong authoritarian government. I guess if everyone was dying, it would change, but it's not that way now. Well, people, if we did get quarantined, would certainly miss the normal social life that we have, the personal interaction, the group interaction. It's just something we can wonder about. What would happen if? The news is reporting about how we, in this country, want to eliminate large public gatherings. Will that mean that we won't have political rallies? Or does this mean that there will not be any kind of political gatherings, whether it's the president going out or the people running for president? Are they not going to be allowed to have rallies? Will everything have to be done by internet? I don't know. Oh, and what about the schools? Will the schools be shut down? I know there are festivals or music festivals that are being shut down. All large gatherings are being, frowned upon. What will happen? We can only wonder. And there's another thing going on with the elder people in America. There is discussion to say that the coronavirus is affecting the people over 75 more than any other group. And in the United States, there are 14 million people over the age of 75. And you know, that includes the three top contenders for the office of President of the United States. They are all over age 75. Interesting, huh? Who is at high risk? I don't know, and I just wonder. But we have lots that is going on. It's getting people's attention. It is something to be addressed one way or another. Oh, and I just said over 75, but there are also reports that say it is people over 55 that have the greatest risk of contracting the coronavirus. Well, that would make a difference if it was 75 or 55. It's just a question. We have to figure out what it means and how we are going to deal with it. A lot of these things are not being told the way it really is. Oh, and that includes in China. China was not truthful about what happened in regard to the coronavirus. They did things very different from what was truthful. China misled an awful lot of people on what they did. They gave false information. They lied. They really did. And so the true information did not get out about how serious the situation was. They gave false information about what they were doing. It's just a question. We have to figure out what our position is when we do not get the correct information. Why, in China, there was even a report through the Chinese news report that the United States was responsible for the coronavirus being spread to China. And the news report said that it was because contaminated United States products had been shipped to China. And so the United States was really to blame for the coronavirus in China. Now, I'm not saying that that's true. I'm saying that is what one Chinese news report said. And it was obviously a lie. So I'm telling you that when there is state-controlled news media, it has to be approved by the authorized government offices and agents. So we have to be recognizing that there is bad information that is being circulated. And that means we get to discern the truth. Not easy, is it? Because we get so many things that are spoken in the news and by commentators. So we want to pay attention and recognize that we have to have discernment. And to me, that means prayer. Because through prayer, we can have understanding and wisdom that God gives us. And that certainly is better than our own wisdom. Oh, yes, it is. And we have to remember that none of the news media in any country gives the best news. They all slant it a little bit. But when you get a really big lie like that, you just have to know to be cautious about what you hear in many areas from that source. Yes, discern the news that you hear in the news from China and the news, all of it, all of it. Remember that CCP, which is the Chinese government, it stands for the Chinese Communist Party. And the philosophy of communism is to oppose any government, anywhere in the world, which does not agree with them. So, yeah, China and the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party government, they oppose the United States, and they oppose republics and democracies and every form of government that is not communistic. So we have to remember that too when we are evaluating what we have heard from various sources. I remember hearing in the news 15, 20 years ago, more than 10 years for sure, at different times, there were different news sources that reported on this. And what it was interviews with people who were in the CCP military, China's military. And there were discussions with the people, whoever the reporter was, helped them to expand on what their views were and what they thought. What so many of those mid-level officers was saying was they were just fine with defeating the United States of America militarily. So that is an attitude that clearly stood out in those interviews. If you took the time to listen, it was obvious they wanted to defeat and destroy even the United States of America. And now, those mid-level military people probably have gotten to be senior level military officers. It's just going to be interesting. Oh boy, we are in for a time of the world where more surprises are going to be coming. And I don't mean I know what they are. I don't. All I can tell is that there are things that are new and we don't know where they're headed. So remember your relationship with God, because that is always one place that will remain stable forever through Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Speaking of the Chinese military, you have probably heard reports over the last years of how military ocean craft and aircraft have been firing military-grade lasers at the United States ocean craft and aircraft. That's been going on for years in the area of Asia, in Africa, and in the Middle East. It has been going on in lots of places in the world. Now, China denies that they have done this. They have denied it for years. But the United States craft, ships and aircraft, have good records of recording what has gone on with them. And they know that there have been military-grade lasers that have been fired upon them when they have been in and over international waters and airspace. So it could lead to a surprising event. I know it could. The United States has recently filed a diplomatic complaint against China because of these ongoing incidences. Of course it has to be known about at the highest levels of the Chinese government, and you have to wonder, what will it mean to us? What will the effect be? Will the United States just keep accepting this aggression and the visual deterioration of the pilots? I mean, it's affecting their eyes. And I wonder if at some point there will be a reaction, an aggressive reaction by someone in the United States. It could start a war. It really could. Will it? I don't think so, but I know that it could. So there are a lot of challenges always to get through, and that's just one of them. Well, that's how life goes. As a nation, as a personally and as a nation, we have challenges to get through. Economically, militarily, and politically, we all have to deal with these different areas. There was, let's see, when was that? It was a couple of months ago, the current Director General of the WHO, which is the World Health Organization of the United Nations. His name was Tedros Adhanom, Director General of WHO. He was at an event in Beijing, China, with China's President Xi. And he praised China for China's strong actions to control the coronavirus. And then he criticized other governments like the United States and other democratic Western governments for not taking strong actions and not having authoritarian measures to control the coronavirus. So it makes me wonder about the attitude in the world and the attitude in the United Nations that he would talk in such a way. And that, of course, makes me wonder what will happen in our future. See, the United States of America has a lot of enemies in the world. And they want to contain and control the United States or eliminate the United States. And from what I read in the Bible, our God, Jesus, wants us to be free and have the freedom to worship Him freely in spirit and in truth. Just like we are to love our God and love our neighbor. That love is freely to be given. So I think of God as loving freedom. And I wonder, in history and in the Bible, there have been so many instances of people having to fight for their freedom and even to fight for their life. I wonder if God will require that we will have to fight for our freedom or even our life. You know, in the Bible, there are Bible heroes that had to fight for their freedom or their life, like David, who fought against Goliath, and Samson, who fought against the Philistines that were really oppressing to the Hebrew people. And then there was Joshua, who fought against the kings around Jerusalem. There was Caleb, who fought the giants in the hills around Jerusalem. And there was Gideon and Moses also. See, there are lots of heroes in the Bible that have had to fight for their freedom and or their life. It seems to be just as simple as it is, and we just have to remember that someday we might have to fight for our freedom also. Oh, it doesn't appeal to me. I like the easy life. I like that we have not had to go to war as a nation, not in any real way like it has happened in past centuries. But we may have to one day actually fight for our freedom. Fight, I don't know what that means. There's different ways to fight. But there are people all around the world who have had to fight in one way or another to keep their freedom, or sometimes to keep their life. There's lots of mass murder that has gone on. There's been genocide that has gone on. There has been religious persecution that has gone on. And if people don't fight, they get slaughtered. They get killed. They get genocided. So what will happen in our future? I don't know, but I wonder. Let's try to maintain our freedom and hope that it's not a great big struggle, because, well, it's not fun to fight. If there's a fight, we have to sacrifice. But really and truly, there is evil in the world, and there is oppression in the world. And we want freedom. So, I think of traveling that I've done too, and I've seen that there has been opposition to America. There have been people who certainly don't like America, and there have been people who also don't like Americans. There are people who would kill Americans if they could in the world. That's just the way it is. And we have such a comfortable life here in America that we don't quite get it. But if you look around, if you listen to the people who have reported on this, you will find that it's really true. There are people who oppose America and Americans. I know I've been naive about that for the early part of my life. When I was young, I didn't realize that there were people who really had a hatred just because I was an American. And some of it, I mean, you can understand, because there have been Americans who have really been very unpleasant, and some of them so much worse. There are Americans who have, they've done bad stuff. I don't think I'll get into it. I know that America has behaved badly to lots of countries and people groups. So there is some kind of a, you could call it reasoning or excuse, to not like Americans, especially when you notice those special privileged Americans who have a high government position and they feel like they can do anything. There are people like that. And it gets people to really have a dislike, especially if they hurt people's families. Well, I just mean that there are forces in the world that mostly we are not aware of because we don't deal with them. But there are there, and those forces do not like America. They do not like Americans, and it's just something to be aware of. Love is a good thing. Love is the best interest of people for the long term, not for their short term needs, but it can be that too. I mean, how many times in third world nations have there been a religious rally, a Christian rally, when they feed people. And that is a form of love and compassion also. But it leads to their spiritual, eternal life. And that is really the greatest concern, I think, that we have for our neighbor. That is showing love when we have that compassion. So there are people who are targeted for violence, or they're just a target, and that can happen in any country. That can happen to us in our own country. We can be a target of violence. It can happen unexpectedly. In fact, if we're expecting it, we are prepared and it probably won't happen. But if you are completely passive and just don't see what is around you, you're kind of like almost inviting trouble because you're not aware of your surroundings. And that means somebody can get you. Now, what do you do if there is violence against you in some surprising place, some surprising circumstance, whether it's day or night, or whether you're around people or completely alone? There's just something that can happen, and you want to be aware of the circumstance around you. You know, the first thing you do if you can is to run away. Literally run away. Remove yourself from the situation. Always that's the best thing. And you do have to be concerned that you have enough time to get a distance away. But that's, I think, the first step. Run away if you can. Sometime you're cornered and you might be caught. And if that's the case, then you must fight. And you fight like your life depends upon it, because your life probably does depend on your fight. You also have to be concerned about the people around you, like if they're your family or your friends, or if there's an innocent person right there. You have to be aware of everything. So, if you are in a position where you fight, you have to be completely justified in what you are about to do. You have to be knowing about what could happen, and because we are accountable to God for what we do. And we are probably accountable before the legal and justice system of that land or our land. So we do have to be careful with any confrontation. Don't let your ego or your pride get involved. Just be careful and be wise. Use God's wisdom. Apply that to your situation. It also helps to pray to God as you are trying to discern the things around you. You have that relationship with God that you can pray to God instantly in all things. So, next thing. A little more about the coronavirus. Because I see what's going on is that fear is being promoted. And people all around the world are getting afraid, but they have a lot to deal with in the world. The world is full of difficulties, and people have to make decisions about everything around them. I think of Hong Kong. The people wear masks there, and yes, they are concerned about coronavirus, but they are more concerned about their freedom. And they come out every weekend, as they have been doing for months, to demonstrate, protest, that they want their freedom. that they do not want to be convicted by China, and they do not want to go to mainland China to have their court hearings. So that's going on too. People want their freedom. In Hong Kong, they are protesting by the tens of thousands, even though there is a risk of the coronavirus. In Iraq, there are also these massive protests. People want their freedom so much that they are having mass protest demonstrations in spite of the coronavirus. The people of Iraq have been protesting for 5-6 months now, and they are protesting the corruption in their country, for one thing. They say that the corruption is worse than any coronavirus could be. The protests say that their politicians have stolen their wealth and their hope for the future because of the great corruption. So they've been having 5 or more months of protests in Iraq, where the police have killed 700 protesters, and the police in Iraq have wounded 30,000 protesters, and still they are protesting. Sounds like they want their freedom, doesn't it? They value their freedom, and they don't want corruption. Well, let's think. Next door to Iran is Iraq. Okay, so there's Iraq, where they're protesting their freedoms, and there is Iran that is having more effects of the coronaviruses. And there are people who are dying there, getting infected, and there's many who are saying that they do not believe in modern medicine. Instead, they have their faith in their Islamic religion, and that's good enough for them. Kind of interesting. In Iran, it is against their religion to drink alcohol. But there is a rumor going around that drinking alcohol will protect them from the coronavirus. And so there was some cheap alcohol put on the market there. No doubt it's bootleg. But there is wood alcohol put into it. And so there are hundreds of Iranians who have been hospitalized for drinking that wood alcohol. And there have been 44 people in Iran who have died. Yeah, even while alcohol is prohibited by Islam, people are getting fearful of the coronavirus. They're coming up with all sorts of strange things. One man was putting violet oil in a private place. It's just, these things are spreading. There is fear because people don't want to, they don't want to die. And so there's concern worldwide about stopping this virus. So much in the United States also. Look at how people are being fearful. They're buying supplies. And I like buying supplies. I think it's a good idea, but not out of fear, just out of good, thoughtful behavior. Have your supplies for the just in case. But here in the United States, there's a lot of fear going on. It's my observation that the public is getting prepared for shortages and perhaps for being quarantined. The media is helping to make people afraid here in the United States. And there's a lot of different opinion about how bad it will actually get to be. And we just don't know. We just don't know. I know there are people also who talk about fear in a little different way. They say, oh, the government has been preparing for this kind of an event for years. Well, I don't mean I say that, but I just think a general attitude of preparedness is good. But these people are saying, oh, the federal government has bought all these guns and all these millions of rounds of ammunition. They have huge underground shelters and massive food and water storage. So they don't care if there's a crisis that hits the American people. They are preparing for a disaster. Now, I'm going to say again, this is what they say. This is not what I'm saying. But there are people who talk about this, and we have to be careful to be practical and not fearful. These fear-based thinkings are also spreading into the financial area. And it's not that I don't have that concern either, because I do. I think that our financial area is dangerous because of the volatility in it. But I think there are people who are really talking about promoting fear so that we do things we wouldn't do if we were not afraid. So you be careful about that. Don't act out of fear. Do be careful about all the things around you, what you hear. Use your discernment and pray to God. Ask for direction and understanding. So our financial system, yeah, sure enough. I think, look at the volatility that we have had. Look at the indicators. The volatility of the stock market, of people's fears, has been a lot. But that's the thing about fear. But there's also reason to see that there could be, well, they call it a reset. Some people do. They could say that we could get new money. We could get a new monetary system because of our debt being so great. And we have indicators that our financial system is in trouble because of the inverted yield curve, because of the, well, it's in injection of federal funds into the market. So we have that. We have the crash protection team to keep against stock market drops. So we've got things in place that are fighting to keep our economy afloat. And so there are real concerns, and including the one with negative interest rates. Yeah, and there's a treasury bonds, 10-year treasury bonds that have just come out, and they have been their price means that they have a 1/3 of 1% interest on a 10-year treasury bond. So there's a lot of thinking that our interest rates very soon are going to go negative. You just can't do that and have a healthy economy. Our economy is on the verge of trouble, and the Federal Reserve has talked in the past couple of years and the past couple of months as well about having helicopter money, which means the money is in getting distributed so fast it is as though they were throwing out of a helicopter. So we just kind of have to guess what these things mean. We'll be okay as long as the people are confident in the system, but are we confident Time will tell. We just don't know what it is. But let's take a minute and look at how to stay healthy in the midst of viruses. We want to remember to have preparedness supplies for our home, including water filter and food and warmth. We want to remember to diligently and thoroughly wash our hands, and I mean like for 10 times a day, maybe 5, maybe 10 times a day. Use a nail brush and gently scrub your hands, nails, and fingers with soap and warm water, always before, after you go to the bathroom and before you prepare food. So that's what we can do. Maybe keep your shoes outside of the door and be careful about purses coming inside because they get put down every place and they have germs on them. So wipe down surfaces that you often touch, like the refrigerator door handle, doorknobs, your phone keypad or your computer keypad, water faucets. Just be aware of things that you touch and keep your fingers away from your face. Those are what we can do for simple preventative measures. Have extra medicine and vitamins and batteries and a flashlight for the just in case. Those are just common sense. Have a few supplies like bleach and wipes so that you can clean the surfaces that get touched frequently. Always remember to eat well and get plenty of sleep. So this last item is one more. It should be the first, the middle, and the last is to develop your relationship with God through Jesus Christ and to have love, grace, and mercy to others. Remember to praise God in all the things that you do. So remember, you can listen to past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org, lowercase and no spaces. Get my free preparedness brochure by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.